and also by a branch that would nurture the Dead Sea, it would also separate occupied Palestine from Jordan, naturally. And this would give the Israelis borders that are much easier
official
to defend.
Official borders, just to remind our audience that until now is the Israeli entity is mainly the only entity in the world that has no borders yet because of its occupation. Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Jamal Wakim, academic and political analyst, for joining us to talk about this very important issue that might be the reason for any upcoming next war in the Middle East. I'll be happy to have you on again and talk more about it. Thank you for being with us. Please stay tuned next week for more from the Mideast Stream.
The Limelight. The Biden administration is coming under increasing pressure to address environmental racism and curb production of throwaway plastics that choke oceans and pile up in landfills and communities. We now present you an article written by Mike Ludwig, a staff reporter at truthout.com website and a contributor to the Truthout anthology. Who do you serve? Who do you protect? The piece is titled, In Louisiana, Activists May Be Winning a Battle Against Environmental Racism. Please stay with us for more of Mike Ludwig's article. Energy industry analysts have declared that the massive petrochemical complex proposed by Formosa Plastics in Louisiana's St. James Parish is financially unviable due to market conditions, legal and regulatory uncertainty, and a groundswell of political opposition and accusations of environmental racism that are gaining international attention. Activists are eyeing a rare victory for environmental justice in the industrial corridor along the Mississippi River, known as Cancer Alley, for its concentration of polluters. However, the fight is certainly not over yet. The Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, IEEFA, a cleaner energy think tank funded by mainstream foundations, urged Formosa in a report recently to abandon its proposal to build a multi-billion dollar petrochemical complex in Cancer Alley. The complex would manufacture chemicals to make plastic products such as throwaway bottles and AstroTurf on the outskirts of Welcome, Louisiana, a small and majority black community where local activists have received international recognition for their campaign against the project. Residents of Welcome near the proposed site already live with more toxic air pollution than 99% of the United States, and if Formosa builds the sprawling petrochemical complex, cancer-causing emissions could double in St. James's Parish and triple near the town of Welcome. Tom Sanzillo, IEEFA's Director of Financial Analysis and co-author of the report, in a statement said, "The proposed complex would cause Formosa to make the wrong products at the wrong time, at the wrong price, in the wrong place, and with the wrong financial calculus." Formosa Plastics was lured to Louisiana by lucrative tax breaks and pro-industry politicians as the petrochemical industry rushed to build new plastics manufacturing plants and soak up a glut of fossil fuel created by the fracking boom. However, the company faces rising costs and stiff opposition from residents who have organized protests and worked with environmental groups to challenge Formosa Plastics permits in courts of law. Activists have drawn international attention to Cancer Alley, where industry has a long history of polluting and displacing low-income and black communities. Sharon Levine, a Welcome resident and co-founder of Rise St. James, a faith-based environmental justice group opposing Formosa Plastics, has testified before Congress and more recently the United Nations. Burial sites have been found under former plantation grounds Formosa Plastic bought to build their petrochemical complex, and members of the community believe their ancestors were buried there after working the plantation fields as slaves. Sharon Levine says the community wants a memorial erected to their ancestors, not a massive petrochemical plant nearby. Recently, U.S. Democratic lawmakers in the House of Representatives urged the Biden administration to revoke key permits for the Formosa Plastic Project. And President Biden recently mentioned Cancer Alley by name when issuing executive orders on climate change and pollution. At the United Nations, a panel of experts recently declared that environmental racism in Cancer Alley must come to an end. Sharon Levine said on Facebook Live after testifying before a United Nations Environmental Justice Panel recently, she said, "Formosa is a Goliath, Rice and James is David," adding, "David is going to win this fight." Meanwhile, according to the IEEFA, the market for Formosa plastic products looks much smaller than it did when the company first arrived in St. James Parish, Louisiana, a few years ago. The petrochemical industry is rapidly expanding its capacity to manufacture plastics from fossil fuels, especially in China, which could diminish demand for exports from the United States. Globally, economies may not recover fast enough from the COVID-19 pandemic to create enough demand for the basic chemicals to make plastics that would be manufactured by Formosa in Louisiana. Long-term demand for virgin plastics is also expected to drop as recycling and bans on single-use plastics become more widespread. According to the report, the cost of building the petrochemical complex is also growing, putting a dent in any future profits by Formosa Plastic. The estimated cost of construction has jumped by about 24%, from $9.7 billion to $12 billion, and could rise even higher with prices for raw materials like copper and steel. Meanwhile, the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, the IEEFA, estimates the complex annual revenues would be roughly $2.5 billion, about 20% lower than predicted by the company's consultants back in 2018. Formosa Plastic says construction of the project, dubbed the Sunshine Project for its proximity to the Sunshine Bridge, has been delayed by the COVID-19 pandemic, which has made it difficult for the company to evaluate construction costs before moving forward. According to a statement emailed to Truth Out by FGLA, the division of Formosa Plastics operating in Louisiana, the legal challenges have also contributed to the delay in construction. Thanks to the activists' effort, key permits for the project are held up in courts of law, creating further uncertainty around the project. Last year, a state judge ordered state regulators back to the drawing board, and the Army Corps of Engineers suspended a crucial permit after environmental attorneys argued the agencies failed to fully consider how pollution from the petrochemical complex would impact an already overburdened majority black community in Louisiana. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is coming under increasing pressure to address environmental racism and curb production of throwaway plastics that choke oceans and pile up in landfill sites and communities. Formosa Plastic is on the rocks in St. James's Parish, but the company has not pulled out yet. The company says it has deferred major construction until after the pandemic subsides or when vaccines become readily available. According to Sharon Levine, at this time last year, Rice St. James reported that the company had begun construction in violation of Louisiana's COVID stay-at-home order, and construction quickly came to a halt. Despite the poor financial outlook published by the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, a Formosa spokeswoman told Truthout that the company remains committed to the project and continues to monitor all relevant factors closely. Sharon Levine said, "We're watching them every which way, and we will not allow them to come into St. James Parish and destroy our lives and upset our way of living and pollute our environment even more."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's dua during incidents of sorrow,
painful occasions and intense grief. We just finished discussing verse number 8 of this beautiful supplication, and now we come to verse number 9, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says,
وَلَا تَشْغَلْنِي بِالْإِهْتِمَامِ عَنْ تَعَاهُدِ فُرُوضِكَ وَاسْتِعْمَالِ سُنَّتِكَ
وَلَا تَشْغَلْنِي بِالْإِهْتِمَامِ عَنْ تَعَاهُدِ فُرُوضِكَ وَاسْتِعْمَالِ سُنَّتِكَ, which means, do not preoccupy me through worry from observing your obligations and acting according to your tradition. This is one of the most important verses of this supplication. And there are two phrases that we need to ponder upon. And in this session, let us look at the first phrase, and that is, we are asking Allah, do not preoccupy me from worry or through worry from observing your obligations. What does that mean? One of the important principles that we learn from here is we should not, first of all, take it negatively that, it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who begins, making us worried and begins preoccupying us through worry from observing our obligations. No. This talks about an ontological and an existential law that is there. Everything is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. Everything's existence is by Allah's permission. Allah is giving existence to everybody every moment. And therefore, when He gives existence to something, the person, or for example, when He's giving existence to the human being, the human being is in a state of worry. He can allow that state of worry to be there, or he can not allow. It is in his hands. Of course, he has made a natural creation, and therefore, when a person faces predicaments, if he has built himself in a negative way, or if he is weak, he is actually affected by the surroundings, and he gets worried due to the predicaments that he faces and so on. This is a natural course. But then even that natural course is with Allah's permission. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can allow this worry to come about naturally, or cannot allow this worry to come about naturally. With all the problems a person facing, it is possible that Allah does not give permission of this worry to actually attack the person. The person faces the predicament but resolves in himself that he is going to take the right steps, and even if this problem has come about, it is going to be solved with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, and he goes forward, and you find that he is steadfast in all what he does. And therefore, this is one of the most important principles to know, that every state that a person has, even the state of worry, is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's total control. And that is why it is proper to say, وَلَا تَشْغَلْنِي بِالْإِهْتِمَامِ عَنْ تَعَاهُدِ فُرُوضِكَ. Do not preoccupy me through worry from observing your obligations, because ultimately everything is under your control. So it is correct to say, but then it is incorrect to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the onset just puts worry on that person. No. The circumstances that a person sees, he is affected by that circumstances, and he gets worried. Even this worry that comes about is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission. But if he wants, he will not allow this to transpire. So everything is in his hands.
Rabbana.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
another important point we must understand in this phrase is when we say وَلَا تَشْغَلْنِي بِالْإِهْتِمَامِ عَنْ تَعَاهُدِ فُرُوضِكَ, do not preoccupy me through worry from observing your obligations. This is a very dangerous thing that happens to a human being who, because of the calamities, instead of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve him from the adversities, he starts doing tamarrud. He starts going against Allah, defying Allah by talking negative things about God, about the scholars, about Quran, about hadith, about so many other things. And you find that the typical irreligious person acts in this way because he doesn't have proper knowledge about Allah, and he doesn't have any fear about Allah, he doesn't have any respect about Allah. Because of the calamities, he starts going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He starts drinking wine, which is not allowed in Islam, for example. He starts doing, promiscuous activities, which are actually not permitted and prohibited in Islam. And therefore, you find that the person starts denying and defying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while everything is under his control. The best thing is to be optimistic and ask Allah to relieve him from the problems instead of, trying to go against Allah and not performing the furud, that is the wajibat, and those things which are wajib and compulsory on him to perform, like prayers, like fasting. You find the person, just because of the problems he and the worries that come in his heart, he doesn't fast, for example. He doesn't pray. He's just in that worries. He smokes. He does whatever he wants. He doesn't pray. Why? Because I have a lot of worries. I'll pray when I feel well. That should not be the case. So this is a very, very important thing that Imam is teaching us. That, oh Allah, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, oh Allah, even if calamities, pressure rises, but enable us to always be steadfast, and do not preoccupy us through worry from observing the obligations that you have set for us, like prayers, like fasting, like the monetary obligations that you have made, and so on. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواه از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and since today is the National Day of Nature in Iran, when families normally flock to parks and green spaces to enjoy the blessings of spring, here is a statement from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, the sixth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, that teaches us to safeguard ecology and the environment by abstaining from pollution. We should not pollute our environment, otherwise it would become impossible to live on this planet.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Nearly a quarter of a million people have died since the start of the Saudi-UAE-US invasion of Yemen because of indiscriminate air strikes, a blockade, and preventable diseases resulting from the destruction of civilian infrastructure and a shortage of medical supplies. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by William D. Hartung, writer. This article is published under the heading, In Yemen, 6 years of suffering and death in an ill-fated war. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. On March 26, 2015, a coalition led by Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates launched an ill-fated war in Yemen, inaugurating what the United Nations has described as the world's worst humanitarian catastrophe. Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, as he is known, the architect of the Saudi war effort, asserted that it would be a short conflict with a swift Saudi victory. The Obama administration, which apparently believed MBS's claim supported the war effort, with tens of billions of dollars in arms sales and logistical support. 6 years later, bin Salman's prediction of a short war seems like a cruel joke, and the continued U.S. role in supporting the Saudi-UAE coalition is unconscionable. Nearly a quarter of a million people have died since the start of the Saudi-UAE-US intervention because of indiscriminate air strikes, a punishing blockade, and preventable diseases resulting from the destruction of civilian infrastructure and a shortage of medical supplies. As a recent report from CNN has documented, the blockade continues to this day, preventing the import of crucial fuel supplies that have left hospitals struggling to operate and impeded the delivery of essential humanitarian aid. David Beasley, the head of the UN World Food Programme, underscored the scope of the crisis. I can't say this enough. Once a famine has arrived, we're too late. Without urgent intervention in Yemen this year, we risk losing a child every 75 seconds, unquote. In his first foreign policy speech, the U.S. president claimed that the United States would cease its support for offensive operations in Yemen and stop relevant arms sales. But much more needs to be done, and soon. For starters, Biden should suspend all U.S. arms sales to Saudi Arabia and the UAE until the end of the blockade, support a durable ceasefire, and engage in an inclusive peace process that brings an end to the war, as called for by more than 80 organizations and individuals in a February letter to the administration. Cutting off logistical and maintenance support for the Saudi armed forces would be a particularly effective way to convince the Saudis to end their role in Yemen's suffering. As Bruce Riddle of Brookings Institution has noted, the Royal Saudi Air Force would be grounded in short order without this kind of assistance from the United States. Discontinuing this support would send a stern message to Riyadh to end its reckless actions, which Representative Ted Leo has said, look like war crimes to me. While Trump offered a particularly warm embrace to the Saudi regime and its de facto leader, MBS, the Obama administration bears responsibility as well. Trump blocked congressional efforts to cut off the sale of bombs and other equipment to Saudi Arabia, arguing that American jobs and profits for companies like Raytheon, Boeing, and Lockheed Martin were more important than Yemeni lives. He stuck to this immoral and counterproductive policy even after the brutal murder of Saudi journalist and U.S. resident Jamal Khashoggi. But the Obama administration notified Congress of over $115 billion in potential arms sales to Saudi Arabia during its own terms in office, including combat aircraft, attack helicopters, bombs, and missiles that are now being used in the war in Yemen. Former Obama officials, many of whom are now in the Biden administration, have since expressed regret for their administration's support of the Saudi war effort. Now is their chance to do something about it. United Nations Special Envoy for Yemen, Martin Griffiths, has spelled out what needs to be done in the short term to reverse the devastation in Yemen. A nationwide ceasefire, along with the opening of the Sana'a airport and ensuring the unhindered flow of fuel into Yemen, are urgent humanitarian imperatives. As Hassan Al-Tayeb of the Friends Committee on National Legislation has noted, the Biden administration must pressure Saudi Arabia to unilaterally end its blockade on Yemen as a humanitarian act, independently of negotiations between the warring parties. Connecting lifting the blockade to ongoing talks is a recipe for prolonging the suffering of the Yemeni people. The Biden administration should use all the tools at its disposal to press the Saudis to make a comprehensive and conditional lifting of the blockade, even as it pushes Saudi Arabia and the UAE to work toward a durable, inclusive peace accord to end the war. After 6 years of war, Yemen can't wait.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the awaited hope for humanity. Today, Friday, is the 17th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Farvardin, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of April, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At the first step of today's special, we'll listen to Chapter Anbiya, verse 105.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون.
And we have already written in the book of Psalms after the previous mention that the land of paradise is inherited by my righteous servants.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear brothers and sisters, the system of creation is a manifest reference for the acceptance of a proper social system of the world of humanity in future. This meaning is the same thing which is understood from the verse under discussion and the traditions concerning the advent of the worldly great reformer, Hazrat Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. Once Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, was asked about the commentary of the Quranic words Az-Zabur and Al-Dhikr when he said, "The reality of Dhikr is with Allah and Zabur is the book sent down to David, Prophet David. And all the books which have been sent down are with the people of knowledge, and they are we, the Ahlul Bayt."
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'minin. Wa ma ana alaykum bihafiz.
This is today's special, and we're speaking about Imam Al-Mahdi, the awaited hope for humanity. Dear brothers and sisters, what is the benefit of Divine Imam to his followers during his occultation? That's an important question. And in answer, we can say in order to answer this question, one should realize that the position and the role of an Imam is not only to administer the affairs and the needs of Muslim Ummah. Rather, he is the link between man and Allah, the link between the material and the spiritual worlds. Moreover, his physical presence or absence has no bearing on his position in regard to this role. This can be derived from one of the sayings narrated by Imam al-Mahdi himself. The Imam said, "My benefit to the people during my occultation is similar to that of the sun when it disappears from sight behind the clouds."
We understand that just like how the earth is sustained with the sun's energy and light, respective of whether it is behind clouds, similarly, we derived immense spiritual benefit from our Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, regardless of whether he's physical with us or not. Similarly, Imam's soul presence is of paramount importance, as it is the source of life for all, as without the existence of God's proof on earth, the world is tantamount to complete annihilation. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam al-Mahdi salamullah alayhi as the 12th and the final infallible Imam in Islam, in whom we believe in Shiite Islam, has been the last and infallible Imam who is still alive, but in a state of occultation. In this regard, we find that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will come up in order to take and in order to lead not only the Muslim communities, but also all people, irrespective of the faiths, of the denominations, or of the philosophical orientations, to light, felicity, and knowledge. We find that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam shows everybody to be to have perseverance in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the associates of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will be those people who help others, who inspire other people, and not to remain hopeless and not to remain frustrated, but to hope in a bright future, in a certain bright future. This belief differentiates, Muslims in two groups. One group who look back to the earliest days of Islam and to certain associates and companions of the Prophet Muhammad, and the next one, the Shias, who look up quite hopefully in the coming up of a bright future. We find that according to the beliefs of a great majority of Shias, particularly and most importantly 12 Shias, we find that all of them have celebrated the idea of the coming up of the promised Mahdi, and that in many supplications, many prayers that we have received from the infallible Imams, this point has always been highlighted, that at the end of time, at the end of history, there will certainly come the universal Savior, that is Imam al-Mahdi salamullah alayhi.
What are the signs of reappearance of the promised Mahdi? This is naturally a vast ground of deviation and misunderstanding and exploitation. The Imam of Ahlul Bayt have addressed this topic in great detail pertaining to the signs of the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. Therefore, our religious scholars from the very early days across the ages up to today have written a great deal of literature in this regard. This is also delved into extensively in the compilation of Hadith books and Ahlul Bayt, as well as the Sunni resources of Hadith, which gives lots of clear guidance on the signs of the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi. The very first point, which is overwhelmingly established in these Hadiths, is that the time of reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi is unknown. Now we go for our role as we wait for the Imam's reappearance. And one of our roles is practicing good ethics. God addresses Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, when he says in the Holy Quran, "You have attained a great moral standards." And the Prophet himself said, "I was sent to complete the system of high ethics." Ethics has a major impact on all walks of life and is part of human nature. If we do not practice good ethical values, then we will not be welcomed among the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance.
يا حجة الله شكوانا إليه أدركنا أدركنا لبيك لبيك.
The other point I wanted to mention as we're speaking about this is beseech the Imam. Really and truly beg him for help, brothers and sisters. And, you know, there's no specific form. You of course you can recite dua al-faraj, and you should. Of course you should recite dua and ziyarat al-yaseen. Of course you should recite all of these visitations that you find in Mafatih al-Janan as often as you can. But if you can't do that, then just speak to him naturally. Just say to the Imam, as I said earlier, "You are my master, you are my leader, and I swear in your name I will not leave you until you answer me. I swear in your name that I will continue to knock on your door until you say something back to me." Speak to him as you would. When someone is desperate enough, the way they speak, they don't care how they talk, they don't care about the form, the words, how they're formulated, how they're articulated. You just tell him how desperate you are. You tell him how much you need him. You're supposed to do that. If you find yourself confused and not knowing what to do, if you find yourself in a position where misconceptions have clouded your judgment and your mind, as we see so many people in the world today, so many young Shias who don't know which direction to take, right? People who look for mysticism and look for the wayfarer's path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many young Shia people have you met who say, "Oh, I want to become a mystic, I want to reach Allah." And they'll go to someone who's a Sufi and a deviant, or they'll go to someone who turns them away from the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. Turn to the Imam. He is, after all, the Mahdi, meaning he is the guide. Turn to him, ask him. Tell him, "I want you to find my way. I want you to show me the way." And it's not like, I mean, you know, I'm sure people say, "Well, I made dua last night and nothing happened." It doesn't work that way. Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to say this, but our shoulders are burdened with sin after sin. You can't expect the door to be opened but with one knock or two knocks. This takes time, this takes effort. We have to purify ourselves, which means that, yes, it's going to take 40 nights. Yes, it could take up to a year. It could take a long time. But I swear to God, brothers and sisters, that you will get an answer. If you don't turn away, you will get an answer. The Imam will respond to you. The Imam will answer you.
Brothers and sisters, we reach to the end of this episode of today's special. Thank you very much for staying with us till now, and we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestion at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.